Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Right now it's 16 minutes past the big hour. Is that right now? It's Dave. Great. Good stuff. I think people are getting really cranked.
Welcome back to the Hockey Show here on Mile High Sports Radio. If you have something to say, if you have a bone to pick, if you have an opinion that you think deserves to be on the Hockey Show, give us a call, give us a text, 303-831-1340, or tweet us. Tweet me at rbolding, tweet JJ at JJ of the Year. And we're here, and we've got a special guest joining us. We've got Adrian Dater for Colorado Hockey Now. Adrian, how are you doing?
Guys, that was a hell of an intro there. Thank you. Always great to come on the song stylings of Kiss, the always great strutter, I believe. So thanks for having me. Yeah, good to be with you guys.
We always love to roll out the red carpet for our guests, Adrian, and we're glad to have you. Being the Avalanche expert that you are, we don't even want to talk expansion draft just yet. I've got to get into just immediately, what is this situation with Gabriel Landeskog? Why is it unfolding the way it's unfolding? What's taking so long? Give us the deets.
I mean, I'll try to do the best I can. They're not in agreement, obviously. There are, I have been told by sources that, yeah, they're kind of far apart right now. I remain an optimist, though, that he'll sign. I really think that the Avs want to get this Cale Makar signing done first and get that number out of the way. And then maybe make a real full court press to get Landy signed again. That's my take. I know Landy said the other day, Peter Baugh, I believe, The Athletic, had a nice quote. Wish I'd had it, but I didn't. And he said he's disappointed right now. So assuming that was valid quote and everything, you know, that's serious to everybody, I bet, and I guarantee you, you know, I'm sure the Avs didn't love seeing that. and whether that could affect things moving forward, I don't know. Sometimes the Avs can be pretty, take things pretty personally about that kind of stuff. So, you know, I hope it gets resolved, but, you know, there's, right, we can talk about this. Is Landy worth a long, long, long-term investment? I mean, I do think there's a portion of people out there that think maybe not, and I just think if they don't sign Landeskog, it'll be a surprise. But, you know, if they don't, I think they've got to have some kind of really quick backup plan that's going to change the, you know, change the subject real quick, a big acquisition, something like that, and then they can try and spin it some other ways. You know, well, Gabe and I, you know, Gabe, we felt we made the fairest offer we could to Gabe. He chose to go elsewhere, and that's his right. But now we're looking forward to the future with the guys we have, and now it gives opportunities to younger guys that we've been meaning to bring in the organization, and it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, right, guys?
100%.
I'm telling you what is going to happen, but I don't. Nobody does that, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's throwing people off the most is, you know, it's kind of understood by the public that Landeskog and the Avalanche have an amazing relationship. So, I mean, that being said, are you surprised by A, the posturing that you're kind of seeing from Colorado and maybe a little bit of disrespect to their captain, and B, how far apart they are on this dollar amount, allegedly?
First of all, nothing surprises me when it comes to contract stuff. There's always a bit of a, you know, these guys could be posturing for sure. I mean, the Avalanche, you know, I've had agents tell me before that we're way far apart. And the next, you know, a couple of days later, there's a contract. I mean, that happened with Mikko Rantanen a couple of years ago. I mean, I was on the phone every day with his agent, and he was really upset at some of the numbers. But all of a sudden, I think the Avs came up $500,000 or so, and they signed him for 9.25. You know, he thought they were way far apart over $500,000, which I suppose is can be construed as far apart by some people like that. I think the general fan would go, come on, just bridge the difference and get it done. The only difference then, though, was that Rantanen was an RFA. He wasn't going to go anywhere, and the Avs obviously had to have him if they want to be a good team. This is different. Landy is UFA. And, you know, if he wants 8 years, let's say at $8.8 million, then that's a big pill to swallow, I think, for the Avs. I mean, you're talking about Gabe Landeskog being 36 years old at the end of that contract. We've just seen some teams be really – I mean, there's always teams that really regret these long-term deals, right?
Look at Eric Johnson right now, right?
I don't think that's because of performance. It's been injuries, but yeah, look at Zach Parise and Ryan Suter.
Mm-hmm.
look at a lot of guys have been bought out. I mean, it's always easy and tempting to say, "Ha-ha, you know, 8 years, we got our man locked up." What happens in 3 or 4 years if Landy just, you know, doesn't have any speed anymore and he's, you know, not a great player and you got 4 more years on the hook? Do you think Nashville Predators are loving the Matt Duchene deal they signed with him? 8 years at $8 million? $64 million? I mean, do you think David Poile loves that deal right now?
I think there's two things to consider here, too, though, Adrian. One, I think Landeskog is deserving of a raise for past performance. And I've mentioned this a couple times, particularly for the way that he humbly embraced being the face of the organization in the 2016-17 season, which was so bad, and he stood up and was accountable. But I also think, you know, that this team is as competitive as they've been in years, and losing him is losing a big part of that, you know. So maybe you do the Chicago thing. You sign him to a contract you know he'll never see the end of, and you figure it out. You kick that can down the road, as they say, you know, and you kind of figure it out. And if we pivot a little bit to, like you said, with Makar, I think now that Miro Heiskanen has signed an 8-year, $8.45 million average deal, you know, that gives some framework to a potential Makar contract. But the Heiskanen contract, too, is really favorable for Dallas, where it you know, starts low, it gets high in the middle, and then it ends low right before he would sign another deal.
Right. No, I agree, first of all, on Landy, though. I mean, I agree with you. I think it would be a mistake to let Landeskog go for nothing. I mean, I think that's a big loss, right? He's a power forward who scored 20 or more goals in 8 of his first 10 seasons. Yes. He's had some you know, bad games at times. I mean, that turnover in game 5 that cost that game was a critical mistake. He's put up playoff numbers, you know, points. I think there's been times though in the playoffs where I thought he's been a little too invisible. I mean, just offensively. I mean, look at he got dumped off the top line. In most of those last two games, right? Why was that? Well, I mean, okay, it was to balance out the other lines, maybe. And I know Kadri was out, but that's just something, you know. I'm just spitballing here as to what the Avs are probably talking about internally. I mean, is this guy really, really worth this long-term investment, or do we let his money go when we try to? You know, we sign a Seth Jones, we trade, you know, we trade, well, they're going to have to trade for him, but, you know, do we sign another free agent that's kind of out there? Can we give it to Brandon Saad and call him the new second-line left wing for sure, or just place all our faith in Burakovsky being the top left wing now and go with that? Those top two lines are still pretty good. These are just hard decisions. If Landeskog, you know, I think the fair deal for Landeskog would be, and I agree with you, I think he deserves a raise from what he's made. Based on not just past performance, but his performance last season. You know, it was good numbers, 54 points in 52 games, or 52, maybe 52 points in 54 games, one of those two. Good production, right? Good defensive player, yes, he's a good guy, a great, you know, stand-up guy. There's nothing you want to see that go, right? But he's 28. He's going to be 29 in November. You know, there's other factors here. If he wants something like $9 million a year, I think, I think that's too high. I think the fair deal for him would be like 7 years, $7 million each. Kind of the same contract Anders Lee got with the Islanders. Team captain, pretty similar player in some ways. To me, that feels fair for Landy. But, you know, they may say, hey, eight is the floor. Matt Duchene got eight. You're paying Mikko 9.25. You know, Gabe is our team captain, and you want to pay, you know, him $2.25 million less. I mean, that's why these things get ugly and very often ends up the way it is. I mean, players always talk about, yeah, I love the team. I want to stay. In the end, it's like H.L. Mencken said, it always comes down to the money. It comes down to the respect that they feel like they deserve. And a lot of that times that comes down to money and term. And here we are.
I'm with you on the term, though. A little bit scary to give Landeskog that much term because, you know, playing till he's 36, the style of hockey he plays, who knows if his body's going to be able to hold up, right?
So yeah,
I'm 100% with you there.
Yeah, I mean, looking
a little bit at EJ.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fair to say Landy has never been the speedster of the league, and I think he looked a little, not slow, but, you know, slowing down a little. And I think that's something you have to think about.
Right, absolutely. And then kind of like I brought up earlier with EJ, I want to know if you had any insight into him waiving the no move clause. Yeah, I thought it would be a little bit more of a struggle. It didn't sound like there was much pushback on EJ's part. Do you know kind of what went into him waiving that?
No, I've known this a while. I think I wrote something a month ago saying, look, it's expected that he'll waive the no move. I had that in one of my stories, and that's after talking with some people. You know, until it was actually done, though. I mean, you had to wait for it to actually happen. But no, I'm not surprised. I think, you know, he doesn't think he's going to get taken by the Kraken. If he does wait, you know, if he didn't waive it, he knows he's going to put up with a lot of heat, probably, and, you know, from fans and the team, and they're not going to like that. And I think he doesn't want that in his life. I think he wants to hopefully come back next year and play for the Avs at $6 million and prove that he's a good player again. The health is just always the question, obviously, but I did see Eric after the late in the season in the playoffs and, you know, talked with him, and, you know, he said he's feeling really good. He was out there on the ice every day in practice, and as far as I know, systems look good for him to hopefully be back on the ice in training camp. Is his contract a little bit of a too much? Probably. It probably is based on the performance. But what are you going to do? It was signed and it's valid, and they could still buy him out. You know, too. I don't know for sure that they won't. I don't think they will, but they still have that option, and I think it's something they still may be thinking about. I mean, what if they don't? What if Seattle doesn't? I mean, if Seattle doesn't take him, that means that Eric Johnson is still on their roster, and but they do have that option to buy him out. It would be only a $2 million cap hit for the next 4 years instead of six this year. That frees up a lot more money for Landeskog, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But also, we've seen reports here that the Avalanche are potentially interested in Ryan Suter, and I have to say to that, why? If Eric Johnson is coming back to play next year, what, like, they're an equivalent to me in my eyes. You know, maybe Suter has a little bit more potential because he hasn't been as injured as Eric Johnson, but basically you're looking at two older, aging out, stay at home defensive types.
Right, but you just lost Ryan Graves too, right? So now there's another opening on the blue line. I mean, it should go to Bo Byram, right? It should go to Timmins. But what if they say, well, you know, Ryan Graves' minutes, we don't know exactly about EJ yet, and you know, everything. We're going to get more insurance with a veteran guy like Ryan Suter, who we know is going to play 20 minutes a night and probably play pretty effective hockey. You know, he's never been an offensive superstar. I mean, he's been a power play quarterback, how he's gotten most of his points in his career. He never scores a goal otherwise, you know, even strength. But he's still a good man in your own zone. I mean, I think the analytics all show that. He played on a pretty good team, record-wise, this year. Now he's got something to prove, too. I always think intangibles are important in anything, and I think now he's feeling really slighted by the Wild. Everybody, you know, he wants to go prove him wrong, and he's going to maybe go out and have a great year forever, whoever gets him, and maybe the Colorado Avalanche are that team.
It's just strange to me, you know, keep Ian Cole then. You know, have a younger, somewhat as capable player in that role. But, you know, if you're looking at going back to a couple years ago on the Avalanche blue line when you have two stay-at-home, you know, defensive power play quarterback type guys that all they do is play defense and pass on the power play.
Yeah, but you know that also Suter could be a good guy on a power play if McCarr gets hurt, or maybe even the second guy, if they want to say, you know, Sam Girard, you're not our guy anymore for that. He's going to put up 30 to 40 points probably still. Nothing to sneeze at. He gets a lot of assists. He knows what to do with the puck. He doesn't score much, like I said. But, you know, the reason why I got rid of Ian Cole, and you guys know this probably, is that, you know, at that time they thought Bo Byram was going to come right in and be the guy, and he probably would have been maybe, but he got hurt. So the Cole deal didn't look as good in hindsight, but you know, they at the time thought we're going to get rid of Cole and his salary and his age and his cap hit, and we're going to go with Bo. Problem is Bo Byram got hurt and never played much of the rest of the season. That's the problem. So you got to assume that he's back healthy too, though. And you got the number four overall pick here you're talking about. He should be a guy that does get that role that Ryan Graves just took. But what if EJ's not quite ready and they don't want him much either? What if they buy him out too? You know, then Ryan Suter looks even more attractive. Listen, I'm on your same page here. I don't think signing 36-year-old guys is really the thing I like as a team anymore, especially with this team. You know, I think it should be still young and fast. But, you know, that's just, you know, when you're thinking about maybe 1 year or something, he's, you know, he's not the worst guy to think about.
Right. And like you're saying, there's still injury problems that might come back to fruition, right? You still have Eric Johnson. You still have Bowen Byram. And Connor Timmins seems to be made of glass at times. So
Cal McCarr missed, like, what, 20 games last year?
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, yeah. He's shown some injury history already.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I mean, you got to, you know. And, you know, teams are always going to try and hit him, too, right?
So, 100%. I
mean, we believe he probably had a concussion, something like that. You know, probably had a shoulder injury once. Remember Marchand hit him and he missed a bunch of time a couple years ago? So, yeah, I mean, you know, injuries suck, but that's, you know, so you got to try to game plan a little bit for him. But hopefully he's never hurt again, because watching Cale Makar is just such a treat, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, and if you're going to be paying him $9 million, you know, you're going to want him to be out there. So
before
we let you go here, Adrian, I guess let's whip out the crystal ball. And are you on the Seattle takes Donskoy train, or what are you predicting for the for Seattle here from Colorado?
Oh, tough one here. You know, I think they take Confer over Donskoy, to be honest with you. I think he would make more sense. You know, a younger guy. But young doesn't always mean that that's better, right? I mean, are we all big JT Confer fans for what he did in the playoffs? I know I'm not.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he filled in very well at all for Nazem Kadri when he went down, and I think that's a big reason why he lost. Of course, Kadri going out with what he did created the whole problem. Put Confer in a different role, and I understand that's tough, but you know, I don't think he rose to that level to ever warrant like faith in him as a top six guy right now. Maybe never. He just never put. So anyway, I think he looks attractive on paper still to some that people maybe. I love Donskoy as a player myself. A lot of people sort of get down on him at times, but I think he's a really good player. Two-way guy too. And yeah, he might be a better player actually to take for Seattle. You know, the other, I guess, you know, I thought they were going to take Graves all along, so that's been eliminated, obviously.
I imagine, you know, that's why the trade happened, is that they said,
yeah,
we will take
sure.
him.
For sure. That's exactly why it happened. At least Joe got something for him. for, you know, and if they do lose Donskoy, then, you know, I think they've thought that all along that could happen. And but, you know, then you get, now you got Newhook and, you know, maybe Shane Bowers is ready. And, you know they're probably going to sign another free agent somewhere. I mean, they're going to lose Belmar. So now they need a fourth-line center. So I think it's either going to be Donskoy or Confer. And I probably would lean toward the track and taking Confer, I would think. But I'm usually wrong on stuff like that, so don't listen to me.
Let me throw a curveball in here. If you're Seattle and you're looking at a highly competitive team like the Avalanche, who are trying to shed some salary to potentially sign their captain and drive the dump trucks full of money to Cale Makar's house, do you consider taking somebody who's making less money just so the Avalanche are saddled with a Donskoy's almost $4 million contract, a Confer's $3.5 million contract, potentially Brandon Saad at $5 million? You know, do you leave the Avalanche to wallow in that contract mire?
I doubt it. I don't think so. I think Seattle have a lot more things on their mind than trying to screw over the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, I don't think there's any bad blood between them and their history. Ryan Francis doesn't seem like a guy who would hate on the Avs, so I don't see why he would. You know, their coach Hackstall, and you know, I don't think he's got any history with the Avs. So to answer the question, no. I mean, that would be kind of stupid. If that's the case too, and the Avs felt that way, and it gets out that that's exactly what they're trying to do, then okay, now you've got the Avalanche for an enemy, and they'll do something back to you at some point. So usually teams don't want to do that. There's been very few instances, I think, of teams really trying to screw teams over financially, although it has happened with the Avalanche. Joe Sakic himself was given an offer sheet back in 1997 that almost derailed his team financially.
Shea Weber was offer sheeted.
Shea Weber was the other, but also, yeah, Dustin Penner from Anaheim to Edmonton, that got very personal with Brian Burke and Kevin Lowe. In fact, they were going to have a real honest-to-God fist fight over it, like a duel.
This is why hockey's the greatest sport.
Yeah. And Brian Burke was totally dead serious about it, too. It turned out to be an awful signing for the Oilers, by the way. I don't think they want to do that at all because they know it's going to come back at them at some point. Hockey's a small world. On the ice is one thing when you try to beat a team with depth, but financially in the front office, I mean, what comes around goes around. You know, they may be looking for a job at some point, you know, Francis or somebody, and they know they'll burn a bridge forever with the Avs if that happens. So usually that just, I don't see that happening, no.
Well, thank you, Adrian, for coming on, sharing your Saturday afternoon with us. This was an excellent talk about the state of the Avs, the potentials of the summer, and the expansion draft. Always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
Anytime, guys. You guys do a really good job on the show, and it's a fun listen, so happy to be on.
Thank you. That was Adrian Dater of Colorado Hockey Now. You can find his work there. I believe he's running a deal right now on his website, so you can get in before the expansion draft, before the trades, before the chaos, before Seattle introduces a little chaos into the NHL. But this is The Hockey Show with JJ and Ryan. We'll be back after the break.
Always a fun listen.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.